This week, Nissan gives Honda the middle finger, and the F-150 is dethroned by a Toyota. Plus, we figure out what TikToker Daniel Mack does for a living and why a taillight theft ring was targeting Fords. But first, a 70-mile-per-hour speed governor? What is this, Soviet Russia? Welcome to the Big Three. Welcome back to the show, everybody. My name is Nolan Sykes. I am joined, as always, by Joe Weber.
Hello, Governor.
And Bart Bidlingmeyer.
Good to be here.
Good. It's good to have you here.
Thanks.
In an official capacity.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
What, dude, a great weekend.
Really great
Eagle
game.
Noise again.
Eagles they kind of sound like chickens.
Yeah.
And what you see in the movies is actually a hawk.
Red-tailed hawk.
What you hear in the, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple red-tailed hawks that fly around my house and I hear them.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. It is cool when you see a wild animal like that and realize that we're actually in their domain.
Yeah, you know? They're hunting, dude. They're looking for mice.
What's a red-tailed hawk hunting?
Mice.
Mice?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rats?
Mice?
Bugs, maybe? I don't know.
Small.
Little squirmers?
Small dogs?
Slippery slimers?
A lot of small dogs.
Purse-sized dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have a couple predators in our neighborhood.
They're on a list, right?
Yeah, they're on a list.
Yeah.
they have to knock on our door and tell us that they moved next door.
Wow. I don't even know where to go. Like I said in the intro, we have Daniel Mack on the show today. Very interesting interview. Looking forward to getting to that.
If you don't know his name, you have definitely seen his TikToks. He runs up to people on the street and asks what they do if they drive a supercar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good interview. He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
He
posted on his Instagram story. He like bet in favor of the Chiefs and was like, if they lose, I'm going to eat my shoe on Instagram. Oh. I was like, halfway through the game, I was like, start boiling that shoe, buddy. Dude.
I did think the Chiefs were going to win. I was rooting for the Eagles. I'm glad they won.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I the same exact feeling. I was like, after everything this year. Yeah, we're a sports podcast now, guys.
You guys got Eagles green on.
Oh,
that's why I wore it.
Nice. Oh.
And the black, too, is kind of, that's part of their uniform.
Lots of colors.
I do have to say, though, as someone who's gone to a bunch of like Eagles playing the Rams games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Eagles fans at all. I'm sorry. You guys kind of suck.
Yeah. I won't argue. They're notorious. Like some of the worst fan stories. Like there was a year they were just throwing glass bottles.
Oh my God.
So they couldn't serve glass bottles after that. And then like in hindsight, I'm sure they're like,
yeah,
why were we selling glass bottles?
Too much.
It's not. I wouldn't pin it just on Eagles fans. I think it's just Pennsylvania fans in general, because Pittsburgh fans notoriously threw used batteries at Santa during one of the game, like in the 70s or something, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was also that hitchhiking robot that got like destroyed.
That was Philly. That was Philly. It was going, and it was, I think, wasn't it? It was coming from like New York or something silly. So it was like,
it was barely on its journey.
And so people would like take care of this robot until it got to Philadelphia and they completely destroyed it. And honestly, it might have been the right move. AI's coming.
Dude, who knows?
You
got to
stop it at any chance you get.
He was like scoping out people's cars, probably.
At least they're assholes in a really funny way.
Oh, I would love. I mean, dude, every time Philly wins a championship, I'm like, I must visit that city. Mm-hmm. We have some people we worked with who are from Philly. Like, I mean, Mark,
editor.
Our editor's from Philly. But, Russo. Who we used to shoot with a lot. He's a super proud Philadelphia boy, and I would just love to. I don't know. It just seems like it's a different kind of vibe, I think.
It's a cool city.
I'd love to go.
Cool
time. Yeah. All right. Let's get into our first story. Last week, lawmakers in Washington State introduced a bill that would allow people with a suspended license to drive, but there's a catch. They would be given a new, quote, speed-restricted license that would require any vehicle the person with the license was driving to be fitted with an electronic top-speed governor. The bill would also require drivers with a single reckless driving charge, 20 mile per hour over the limit, to get the new license and a speed governor.
So if you're repeatedly going 10 to 15 over,
you might get it. But if you're once going over 20,
dang,
past the speed limit, you'll get it.
There's no wiggle room for that.
I just don't, I don't know if that would work in California. Everybody, at least in SoCal, drives like 25 plus over the speed limit on all freeways.
My wife was like, why are you, she's like, you don't have to kill us. Something like that. It's like, you're not, I'm like, I drive, like, why are you driving this fast right now? I'm like, I don't know how to deal with this conversation because this is how fast I drive.
Yeah.
And you just haven't been paying attention.
It's also,
you know what I mean? But I'm like, well, that's not a good defense in this situation. No, so I was just really like, I don't know how to deal with this right now.
Everyone else is driving that fast too. Yeah, and it's also less safe to drive slower, because now the new thing is like people are driving 90 in the slow lane.
That ticks me off, dude.
It's so annoying.
Yeah. I had a similar conversation with my wife. Like, she drives pretty slowly and safely. She never had a ticket or any sort of accident.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we'll be going, like, it's with the flow of traffic is what it is. Yeah. And I don't know. That being said, you know, she does the opposite thing. She'll go slow in like the passing lane. I'm like, babe, when I'm riding with you, we can't be doing that.
Yeah. People like some viral video of Nolan going slow in the left lane. Yeah.
I'm afraid of that. Yeah.
There is a very visceral reaction though when someone talks to you about your driving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no matter.
Very personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get that like,
maybe it will crash us.
Show you. Yeah. So why let these people drive at all? The American Motor Vehicle Administration estimates over 70% of people with suspended licenses continue to drive anyway.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah.
I do think it's like people need to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of places don't have buses.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unless you're living in like Seattle in Washington, like your public transit options probably aren't that great.
I do think there's going to be some sort of like workaround for this though. People who want to drive fast are going to drive fast.
You can change. You know, you can.
I don't think people can change. I don't think people change.
Oh. Well, the speed governor would be, quote, intelligent and would use GPS to dictate the top speed. It would be a misdemeanor to tamper with the device. California tried to pass a law requiring speed governors in all new cars late last year, but it was vetoed when it got to Governor Gavin Newsom. So a point to him on that one.
Yeah. So what they mean by intelligent is like, if you go into a school zone, it'll limit you to 25 or 15 or whatever. And then like, once you get on the highway, it goes back up to 70, which I think is, you know, like, don't mess around with kids. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I learned from the Predators in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the Predators. It does drive me a little bit nuts. Like, there's a time and a place to go fast, right?
Certainly.
Like, if you're in a neighborhood, like, come on, man, slow down. Like, you're not gonna get anywhere that much faster.
No, dude, that's my favorite thing too. Is like when people just like blow by you on like a surface street or something, and then you pull right up next to them at the next stoplight. Like, it's a cliche, but it happens all the time.
Yeah, I got to the right red light faster than you did.
Yeah.
You.
I don't think I like this, guys. I think, you know, if people who, you know, are on a sort of probationary period, you know, they have like this speeder designation or whatever, and they're caught speeding, then I think that's when the penalty should be, you know, enforced. Not like,
I think this is
messing with their freedom of movement.
But it's also, what was happening is that they would suspend the license and they would drive any, right?
Right.
So now it's, look, you could have your license taken away, but so I think if you look at it like that, it's
much more palatable that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think,
when I'm fully informed, it's more palatable. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting how that works.
But I do think it does feel the outright one that they're proposing in California, I think, just feels un-American, right? Yeah. There's this idea.
The only thing I disagree with is that, like, the first time offender one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, look, you got me.
Yeah.
Let me pay it.
Because you go on, like, it's 55 in LA. If you're going 75, which I do often, I don't want to incriminate myself, but, like, I'm going 75 a lot on the highways. it doesn't feel reckless when you're going with traffic, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe we just need like a recalibration of like driving etiquette in this country of ours, in the state of ours at least. Like, yeah, we can't, if you're going like 80 plus in like a slow lane, like don't
pass on the right, like also, exclusively on the right.
Yeah, and like also respect the passing lane as like that's what it's not a fast lane. It's a passing lane. Yeah. Right? Like that's what that's meant for. That's what it's called. I think people just need like a refresher on all that stuff and like abiding by it. But again, dude, like when we went to Germany, like they love rules over there. Mm-hmm. They love their rules and their protocols and everything. And I think I don't know if this recalibration I'm talking about would even work because we don't like rules or people telling us how to do anything, even if it helps the whole, you know? Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, and you're to that point. It's like in Germany, like no one drinks and drives.
Yeah.
Because they have the rules. They can go super fast on the highway because they're following the rules.
Yeah.
You know,
and like all their cars, like, dude, you never know what kind of, like, in the same way, you never know what people are going through on the day to day. You never know what kind of bullshit their car is going through on the day to day, too. They could have no brake pads.
Yeah.
They could have completely sensors that are completely not functioning, tons of rust underneath. Like, those are not cars that are going 120 on the Autobahn over in Germany, you know?
Speaking of Germany, though, passive governors that chime, create pedal resistance, etc., are mandatory in the EU in all new cars as of July of last year. So they do love the rules. They're making more as we speak.
I wouldn't mind that if your car's like, hey, buddy, you're going pretty fast. And you can just be like, I know.
I mean, the JDM kids love that on their antique, the ding when you go over like 65, ding. Like that's cool to them, but it's annoying to me.
I think all those sensors are annoying. The one that like senses if you're tired, how the hell does that work? And like, why are you telling me I'm tired? I'm tired all the time.
And they're only going to get better, Joe. Like those ones, they look at your eyes. They look at, you know, where you're looking and everything. But soon they're going to be like, oh, this guy's tired of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's driving towards a cliff. Yeah. You might want to pull over. That's like, it's like, what am I going to pull over and like recline?
I know. I like that.
Yeah. For an hour.
You're getting tired.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. I thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's literally a nanny tech, like telling you when you have to nap. Because that's what nannies do.
Yeah,
they say, baby, you got to nap right now.
Baby, you got to nap. Again, I like that it's instead of taking your license away completely, you got these kind of, you got bumpers on your bowling lane, as it were, right?
70's not nothing.
No, it's not.
You still kill plenty of people.
That's the fastest I go in my truck because it feels like it'll shake apart if I go faster than that.
Yeah.
Again, I don't like.
Sure.
I guess I don't like the rules.
Yeah. You're a rebel.
I'm a rebel, dude.
Things are going to change.
Never been arrested.
I think out of all of us, though, you do like the rules the most.
For sure. Yeah. I say that. I say these things. The biggest news of the past few months has been Honda and Nissan's impending merger. And after weeks of public head scratching on why Honda might want to do this, Nissan has announced they're exploring greener pastures. The plan was to create a joint holding company. The news broke in early February that Honda wanted to absorb Nissan as a subsidiary, which was apparently a bridge too far for Nissan. Now, Nissan is looking for partners from the tech industry rather than the car industry to better set itself up for electrification and automation.
It seems like a logical step, but the company that they chose, Foxconn, is notorious for bad labor practices and just kind of like, speaking as someone from Wisconsin, they promised the world to us. They got all these grants to like build factories in central Wisconsin. And then they just ghosted us. And so they like, I think just took the money. I can't remember exactly what happened, but they're a shady company and I don't think it's a good move for Nissan.
I think the narrative being that like being a subsidiary of Honda rather than kind of like a partner was, maybe a slap in the face to
Nissan.
It's
like
but
Lando and Oscar. Like, who's going to be the number one here?
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
Speaking from a Honda fanboy perspective, also being a fan of Nissan as well, but like not a business expert by any means, I can't see this being the right move long term
for Nissan.
For Honda?
For Nissan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think they should have bit the bullet and done it for the long term success of the company. Honda, great company, I think.
I don't know. The company, for all intents and purposes, wouldn't exist. They'd be a subsidiary.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, I don't.
True.
For what you're saying as brand identity and being a fan of the company, I don't think they would have been able to be the same company.
It is kind of like a pride thing,
mm-hmm.
but what's the alternative? You merge with a tech company and you put out EVs and you kind of lose your identity to that.
Yeah, but I think there's something to, at least it's, if we're going to fuck up our brand, we're the ones who's going to do it. You know what I mean? Like, and I it's guess our that, job.
Yeah. That's a valid position too, I guess. Yeah. Tech companies have tried to make cars before. Buying an actual car company instead of starting from scratch could be huge. Mm-hmm. I guess time will
tell. A lot of the Chinese car manufacturers are primarily tech who then got into cars.
Yeah.
Like when we reviewed that Neo a few months ago. I mean, they have like
everyone loved that video, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't look at the comments, but everyone loved every minute of that video.
They're a phone company, and like you over in China, they have like the Neo store is like, you know, they got phones and whatever, but also like tons of accessories for both your phone and your car, things to make your phone and your car like work together better, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty crazy.
What's the hard drive on your car? What size hard drive do you use your car?
4 terabytes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Apple was working on a car and they scrapped it.
Really? They did. Yeah.
Well, Sony's about to come out with their Afila.
The Afila.
Which we got to see. It's all right. It's kind of blobby.
The outside was pretty blobby and kind of boring.
Yeah.
But the inside is sick.
The inside like, had a, what was that video game? It had a video game mode. Nathan Drake.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
that?
Uncharted. Oh, yeah. There's
it
like
had
different,
an Uncharted mode.
Yeah. They had like, you know, you can select different themes that like change the look of your gauges and lights
and
stuff
the LEDs
like that.
Around. Yeah.
The Uncharted mode was like green. Yeah. Just fun. Being a big Nathan Drake fan myself.
And green. Fan of green.
Big fan of green.
Go Eagles.
Ah! For the first time in 42 years, the Ford F-150 has been dethroned as America's best-selling vehicle. Who took the crown, you ask? Did the forever second-place Silverado finally come out on top? Nope. It's the Toyota RAV4.
Cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's a lot of cars.
That is crazy. I mean, for years, ever since we wrote, I mean, I think the intro for the Up to Speed that we wrote on F-150 like 5 years ago was like, F-150 is the best-selling vehicle in America. Oh, you thought I said truck? No, I said vehicle. Like, and that's just, I don't know. I just never really imagined that something like the RAV4.
I think we've been talking about it, though, about, you know, what's going on with American trucks and the people are wanting that crossover.
People
want something sporty.
Yeah.
I think it's a positive sign at least. I mean,
that a crossover dethroned a truck.
In terms of space on the road and fuel consumption, yes.
Okay.
You know, like most, like we were saying last week, I think like most people that buy big trucks, myself included, don't necessarily need them all the time, you know, and the fact that they found something just as utilitarian. But I mean, we all know Joe's only filled up that RAV4 like 4 times now.
Has it been more since last week?
It's been 4 times.
Nailed it.
Look, I wasn't. I was trying to get past this.
Your car is very fuel efficient.
Yeah.
And I think that's great that if, I mean, even the base model RAV4, I think, probably gets like, 27, 30 miles per gallon rather than 20 combined that the F-150 does. That's good. Less gas used overall in this country, I think, is good.
Yeah. It's a great car, too. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not even going to mention that Nolan brought up his truck three times this episode.
Once.
Right? Three times.
Three?
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about it shaking if you go too fast.
It was shaking. There's some. I was driving this week with Chloe and I was like, or this weekend, and I was like, something's wrong with this truck, dude.
Like, you know, alignment?
I did get one. When I bought the truck, the wobble was real bad. If I went over like 60, something was shaking. Yeah. I got new weights put on one of the wheels and that seemed to have sorted it. But now when I turn too sharp to the right,
it just rolls.
Yeah.
It just flips right over.
Like, I hear like, I'm like, that's not supposed to be making that noise. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it's.
Well, maybe Americans are realizing that they're huge pieces of shit that drive shitty trucks. And they just break down all the time. So that's probably why the RAV4 is on top now.
Yeah. So Ford and even some American auto news outlets would have you believe that the F-150 is still on top. But there's some number fudging going on. Ford's official number for units sold is 750,789. But this includes every single model in the F-Series line, including the F-250 and 350.
So what they're doing is pulling a Taylor Swift. They're coming out with 75 different variants of the same album and counting it towards total sales.
The number of F-150s sold is
kind of like how we have this podcast on different platforms.
Yeah, but nobody listens twice on different platforms, though. All right. The number of F-150s actually sold is 460,915, a number the RAV4 managed to beat out by over 14,000.
Damn, they sold almost 500,000. That's crazy.
I mean, again, pretty crazy, pretty cool. I don't know. Interesting shift in the market, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, we were scanning the websites for like dealerships within 50 miles of our house. And like one would pop up for 1 second and then it would be gone.
Really?
And then, you know, like we just happened to be at the dealership when one showed up.
Wow.
Like, we'll take it.
Huh. Wow. Yeah,
that was like exactly the spec that we wanted.
It's actually pretty crazy because I remember when the RAV4 Prime came out in 2020.
Yeah.
That was like one of the most marked up vehicles on the market. People were buying like for like 80 grand.
That's the one that turns into a robot?
Yeah.
That's one that we have.
Transforms?
Yeah.
We have Prime plug in. It's great. But
never have to fill it up with gas.
It's just too fun, Joe.
But the crossover, I think, is just, it's eating up a larger portion of the car market, and the RAV4 just happens to be that flagship that has finally just, it's just kind of tilted the scale finally.
Yeah. It's weird calling it a crossover. It is, but it's really close to a 4Runner.
Right.
You know, like it's, it's got a trail mode. It's probably not as heavy duty, but
you'd get the RAV4 instead of a 4Runner for the same reason you get the RAV4 instead of an F-150.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's that same mindset that has shifted.
4Runners are big now, too.
They're huge.
They're big, dude.
They used to be small. I mean, you remember my 95 4Runner.
Those first and second gen ones are pretty, they're little guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're big.
Used to be a little guy. Now he's a big guy.
Little 4Runner all grown up. You're a big boy.
Last week, a theft ring in Texas was busted for targeting the taillights on F-Series trucks. A group of three men hit
allegedly.
Yeah. No.
No, allegedly. They're just, they haven't been tried.
Oh, okay.
They've been arrested.
Good save. Yeah.
Allegedly. Don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
Sued by the three men who steal taillights.
Allegedly steal taillights. Yeah. Although if you look at their mugshots, you're like, those guys stole the taillights. Yeah. These are probably the three guys.
Do they have like
allegedly
the bandit? Yeah, like the Hamburglar. Right.
One of them's a raccoon.
Bring those back, looks, dude. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to see. Some bandit.
I don't know what he looked like. He had a thin strip of fabric with holes
in
it.
It's a cool look. Yeah. A group of three men hit a total of 34 trucks in a 4-month span along the I-45 corridor between Galveston and Houston. The total value stolen was around $92,000, dude.
It's funny. They showed the map of where it was happening, and it effectively, these guys were like drawing a line to find them by who they stole. And it's also, I was telling Audrey, it's like the wet bandits where if you only steal one thing, they're going to know you're the guy who stole that thing.
Yeah.
Just 34. Yeah.
F-Series owners report that replacements have been quoted between $2,800 and $6,500 to replace. Good Lord. Some of these lights have more sophisticated sensors in them, but they all can be removed from the trucks pretty easily. Basically involves dropping the tailgate and removing two screws. We talked
about tell them how to steal it.
I mean, Nolan? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Police say they can't give any of the recovered taillights back because the taillights have no identifying marks.
Yeah. So there's nothing to match a taillight to a VIN. And so they've got all the tail light. You're like, yeah, we recovered all these taillights. And people are like, can I have mine back? And they're all a little different.
Yeah.
And they can't give them back unless you can somehow prove that those taillights are your taillights.
That's insane.
Dude. So the cops were like, well, I mean, you could, if you had some markings on them, like the last four of your VIN, but it's like, who's doing that? Yeah, a little late for that. Yeah.
When I was in high school, our Dodge Caravan got stolen out of our alley.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple weeks prior, it was very windy and a do-rag was flying in the wind and I just caught it and like wore it as a joke for the rest of the day. And then I put it in my car and then the car got stolen. And then they were like, we recovered some items. They caught the guy or whatever. Can you come identify the items? And I had to go to the station and identify $2 worth of quarters and a durag. And then they wouldn't even give me the durag back.
What the heck?
Or the quarters. And they were like, it's evidence now.
And meanwhile, somebody's buying a candy bar with Joe's quarters.
Yeah.
This stupid kid wanted his quarters back.
Yeah, the cops had chocolate
not
around
today.
Their mouth.
Exactly. And just burping Coke. Just
Coke burps.
Yeah.
There's like, it's like three kids stacked on top of each other as a cop.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
If you've ever had your car stolen, sometimes it's fun to find things later. Like, I don't know, a crack pipe under the seat.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I don't think the police are combing through too carefully.
Well, that was the second car that got stolen out of our alley. The first, they actually broke into our house, stole some stuff, like ancient spoons that we had. Like my great grandma's spoons. Not ancient.
Ancient. You know, without all the spoon tech that we have today.
These but like decorative spoons. She had a thing of decorative spoons and they stole that for
and
some
that was
reason.
In the car?
No, that was in our house.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but so then they found out it was a grandmother who broke in that time.
No.
She took those spoons.
We couldn't hate her too much, you know? She's a grandma.
Yeah.
But then weeks later, my dad heard the garage door open and then his Mitsubishi Eclipse.
No.
You know, they stole it and then they found it like miles away, wrapped around a tree with blood in it. And then it smelled like gin and juice inside.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Blood in it.
Yeah.
It was Snoop.
I had my Oldsmobile stolen when I was in Chicago and, you know, it's all street parking.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out to like, just to get the car. And then there was like a light dusting of snow. And I shit you not, there was a, you know how like the snow will fall? It was like a chalk outline kind of where my car was.
Oh, God.
Not.
Oh, no.
And I was standing and I'm like, I think that's where I parked my car.
Oh, no.
And it had been there, you know, sitting because I didn't drive a lot in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So you'd like park somewhere for a week, then you need it. And
public transit's great over there. You don't need to drive.
Just to ride a bike all the time too. Everything's very easy to get around.
I'm going
to
go there this weekend, Chicago.
But I knew it was like, I had just missed them because it had just started snowing. Like I even had to know that. And then I reported it and I think it was like 2 weeks later, they called and they said they had it in the impound. They had written me 6 rush hour parking tickets over the course.
No.
Yeah. And I reported it to you guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then
you still had to pay them?
there was, I actually did pay one. It was mind boggling. So like I'd get a ticket and then I'd send it in. Yeah. This was, here's the police report, get a ticket, send it in. Here's the police report. The last one, send it in, get it back. We've denied your request. God. And I'm like, you wrote these, yeah.
You know my situation.
You had it impounded anyways. And then that was just like, am I going to spend a day in court for $40 or am I just paid it?
That's like a revenge fantasy I have of like walking outside and someone stealing my car. And I'm like, ooh.
It's on,
baby.
Kick some ass.
You know, I'd probably
you
just like
the wrong car.
Get run over.
I'd be like, hey, it's actually my car.
hey guys.
Yeah. I think that might be a mistake. Yeah,
you just get run over.
Just flying over the hood, like Lisa Kudrow and Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion.
I love that movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Dude, Alan Cumming is the
nerd. Yeah.
He's so funny.
He's great.
All right, coming up next, we got an interview with Alex Mack's cousin, Daniel Mack. Enjoy.
All right, please welcome to the show, Daniel Mack.
Woo!
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. If you don't know Daniel, which you probably do, he goes up to people on the street and asks what they do. They're usually in a sick, exotic car. Did you start doing this because you loved cars and you're like,
how did this all start?
Yeah, it was quite the journey, honestly. But I moved to Dallas, Texas originally, and I grew up in Tucson where there's no Ferraris or Lamborghinis on the street. So after college, I moved there and I was like just seeing supercars for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how does somebody afford a supercar?
Yeah.
So I was like, why don't I just walk right up to somebody and just ask them? And that's kind of, how it all started. It was kind of a joke at the beginning, honestly. Like, I liked cars, but I was more just like, hey, like, this is funny. And then I started getting, like, really solid advice from people. And then it became a whole thing. Mm-hmm. But the first guy that I walked up to was like, I sell drugs. And I was like, oh, okay, so maybe I should do that.
What was that's he awesome. Driving?
He was driving a Huracan.
That's hilarious.
I remember we tracked him down through like eight different lights.
Holy shit.
I was at the time, I'd never seen Lamborghinis on the street. So I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
And now in LA, it's like it's the like, Toyota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every stoplight.
Yeah. I've been watching your videos for like many years. And I think it's really great how earnest people get. Like you were saying, like you get really good advice. It seems like a gimmick at first and then people really open up.
Oh yeah.
And like get real with you.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I think that's what drew me into it. And I think that's why you have so many followers now. It's like such a great format. You're working on new formats this year, right?
Yeah. We're doing kind of stepping into more like long form stuff as well on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok's kind of YouTube's another beast, I should
say. Totally.
And I feel like it's hard to kind of, keep it going every single week. You need to be really consistent. So I am working on that. Maybe I need to hit you guys up on the YouTube,
but
it's like another side of the world, basically.
It is. I mean, we've had our own challenges with it, it becomes pretty apparent pretty fast that like just putting shorter versions of your videos, like your YouTube content onto a short form platform doesn't really translate and vice versa. It sounds like so.
Yeah. Everyone's different. Every platform, it's just like unique. Yeah.
Self-help is like such a strong term, but because these people are dispensing advice and there's such a willing audience for like, if I'm on Instagram and I see someone in a Lamborghini Ferrari giving me just a tidbit of advice of how to achieve that, like how did that shape how you approach these videos?
Yeah. I mean, I have like tried to practically use the advice that I've been given. I'd say like the most common things that I see among like the supercar owners are number one, all of them own real estate, like literally like 99% of them. So like, I'm like, I should probably buy some real estate, which is another problem for other things to talk about, but especially
in LA, it's hard to do,
but it is true. And then they all own their own small businesses. That's another big one because you can only make so much money working for someone else basically. And, then they're like doctors, lawyers, I was about to say the Johnny Sins thing. We interviewed Johnny Sins. He goes, doctor, lawyer, teacher, plumber. But honestly, plumbers make a lot of money too.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of money. There's a lot of plumbers out there.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I use a lot of the advice. Maybe not the Johnny Sins route, but.
That's really hilarious. We were there at our old office, the landlord for our building. We'd be talking to him sometimes. Me and Eddie went out there one time
And classic like LA advice is like, you guys need to be getting to buying real estate right now. Meanwhile, we're like 23 years old.
We're getting paid like $50,000.
Yeah, not being paid that much. And it, just to get that advice sometimes can like, it comes from a good place, but sometimes you're like, okay, I don't know how to even do that right
now. It's like, what do you do with that? Yeah. They're like, just buy commercial real estate.
It's easy. You just buy buy an apartment building in 1986 and then you'll be set forever.
It's those people, the warehouse people that are in like the hypercars. If I go up to like the Pagani people, like the Bugatti people, they're like, I own commercial real estate. And I'm like, where do I go from there?
Let me just get $80 million and buy a parcel out in Irwindale, California. And,
and those are the types of people that are running our country. Your interview with Horacio Pagani was really funny.
Oh my gosh.
Did you actually not know who he was?
No, I didn't know what he looked like. Straight up, which is like embarrassing, but honestly, it makes for a funny story because it's my first car week ever.
Yeah.
Obviously, you go to car week and then you see like, Christian von Koenigsegg, you see like the standard characters that are the legends basically. Yeah. But I knew who he was, but I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't see any like interviews and stuff. So I am legitimately in the Monterey Car Week, like VIP lot. And I don't even know if I was allowed to be there, but I kind of like stuck my way in. And I just see this Pagani Huayra BC Roadster roll up and I'm like, holy cow, this is crazy. So I go up and I see him and his son and I genuinely just straight up, which I wouldn't have, if I recognized him, I just couldn't do that, which made the video perfect because I literally was like, what do you do for a living? And he's like, and then his son, even though he does speak English, by the way, he doesn't speak English. And then he just sits there and he's like, he can hear me. He understands what I'm saying. But for those that haven't seen, I asked literally Pagani what he does for a living. And he's he's Pagani.
Was that last year?
It was like three years ago. It was like almost 4 years ago now. It was like my first time ever, 2021, I think, or 2020. Yeah. So I was just stepping into like the going to events car scene.
I wouldn't feel too bad about that interaction. I also had a very embarrassing moment with Pagani last year when we interviewed him. We were doing our interview and I was like, man, you know, all these, I thought I was on some real shit with this question. I was like, all your cars are named after
Argentinian winds.
Is there a reason? Like, does Argentina have like a special place to you?
And then his son translated it to him. His son translated it to him, and he like looked at Nolan,
just like,
and then he looked at his son again, and he's in Italian was like, does he know that I'm from Argentina?
Okay. So I wanted to crawl into a hole and die for maybe 90 days after that.
He's sassy, bro. He's a sassy guy.
That was terrible.
He knows English too. Like he literally knows it. Like there's videos of him like talking in English, but he doesn't like to speak the peasant tongue.
Oh, okay.
But that's very nice because every year I meet him, we do another follow-up video now. Awesome. So he like roasted me in Italian last year. Awesome. He was like, I ask him what he does for a living in Italian. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but clearly I butcher it. And then he goes, you don't know lavoro, which means like, you don't know work basically. Wow. So he's just flaming me. And I'm like, thank you. I'll take it every day.
That's awesome.
That's great. Yep. So you clearly love exotics, right? What, like growing up, what was your favorite exotic car? What was your poster on the wall?
I mean, honestly, the Countach.
Really?
It's definitely my favorite. I just like wedge cars in general. Mm-hmm. Like I like F40s too. And I honestly just like older cars too. Like I just bought a pristine E30.
I saw it.
It's like 20,000 miles. Yeah. I love driving a manual and I'm probably going to up it to an M3 because even though they're crazy now, like 150K or something
that. Yeah,
super expensive.
But I'd say like the Countach and the F40 are like my favorite. I know they're like a little basic at this point, but like I just like the shape of wedge cars. Like I like the Esprit. I like all those kind of wedgy era stuff. So I'm probably going to start collecting them. I might get a Testarossa soon.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Wow.
So that's kind of exiting the wedge era, but awesome. I like that zone of cars.
You just get a million people asking you what you do for a living.
Oh, how many times has that happened to me? Like 5,000. I think probably more than I've asked people, but I say like, it's my personal like purgatory because I've bothered so many people.
It's part of the game now. Yeah.
But the thing is everyone thinks that they're being like really unique and you can't be like a dick and be like, you have to be like,
That's very gracious.
I'm glad that you guys didn't ask me that.
I have a magician friend who, he always strikes up conversation at the airport with someone. And inevitably, some guy goes, can you make my wife disappear?
Oh.
And he'll laugh very genuinely and then take out this little notepad and make a hash mark.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was the like funniest, most subtle way of being like, I've heard that a fucking million times.
I've heard that this many times. That's
yeah.
So I should do that. I should do that, honestly. Yeah. That'd be funny. Yeah, a lot of times. I've started telling people just like very crazy things. One time though, I actually have a funny story. I asked
Save it, dude. We don't want to hear it.
Some guy asked me what I do for a living outside of a bar like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, a little tipsy. So I go, "Your mom." And he goes, "Excuse me, what did you say?" And I'm like, "Like your mom." And he goes, and he's filming me with his camera. And I'm like, "What? It's a joke." And he's like, "How dare you? My mom is the most important person in my life." And I was like, "It's a joke, dude. Like, it's a joke." And he got so mad at me. I was like,
"He's
okay."
Genuinely pissed?
Genuinely pissed off with his girlfriend next to him filming me. So I had to be like, "Oh, sorry, man. Sorry to offend you." And then he cut and I'm like, "Dude, what's your problem, bro?"
So, oh my God.
So I guess I should stop saying that one, but.
No, that's good.
It's a good one. That's it's a good one. I say I sell organs. I sell everything you can think of. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
What is the weirdest occupation that you've ever heard?
Yeah.
One lady said that she's a champion thoroughbred breeder. So like,
I saw that one.
She sells like the highest pedigree horse sperm to people. And then they go for like millions of dollars a vial.
That's
and I was
crazy.
Asking her kind of about the extraction process.
Which, she was driving them.
Oh, you cut all that out of the video too.
Yeah,
I was like, I heard vial.
Yeah. It's so she really was telling me like, she'll fly around to like very like high, like value, like Beverly Hills, like house people that want like their champion horses and like extract the semen. And then like, put it in the other horse. I don't know how it all works. But yeah. And then she sells it for millions of dollars because they make millions of dollars when they bet on them and all that stuff.
And it's a renewable resource. So
it's the ultimate thing.
Money tree, yeah.
That's probably number one. And I bet another guy
What kind of car was she driving?
A BMW XM, I think. Some kind of one of the X model.
The SUV, the huge
one. It was the big ugly one.
Yeah.
The big ugly one.
Tracks. Okay.
And then also I just met a guy last week. I haven't posted this video yet, but he makes money swindling pedophiles. I don't know if you're going to cut that out.
Like trapping? Is it like, Chris Harrison?
No. So like, or Chris Hansen, right?
Chris Hansen. Yeah.
So this guy will go on and he'll scam pedophiles and pretend like he's 15 years old as a girl. They'll send him money and he'll make about $10,000 to $15,000 a month.
What?
Being like, buy me like nails, like buy me whatever. And so it's technically illegal, but the people can't go to the cops.
No.
Pedophiles. And he literally, I was like, dude, are you actually like bullshitting me? Like, is this for real? And he's like, no, dude. Like I literally, it's a whole operation with like employees, like scammers. Whoa. And he'll literally just like all throughout America be scamming people.
That's insane.
And I was like, dude, like for real? And he's like, yes, for real. So dude, that's crazy. I'm like, dude, you're kind of a hero, actually.
That's crazy. I don't know how to feel about that. Like,
yeah.
I hate scammers, but also the people that are scamming. Like,
yeah, it's weird. It's like an ethical gray zone, but I tip my hat to you, sir. Like, that's a good one, actually.
that's awesome.
So those are two good ones.
Yeah.
There's a million other ones, but like those are probably the most interesting.
Wow.
So we're a little bit off of the subject of cars, but... what's in your garage right now? You said you just bought an E30.
Yeah, just got an E30. I have a Porsche GT4, which I love.
Nice. And got the carbon seats and the
I got the buckets and all
that.
Like
the
I will get
air
shit on
that
though,
goes right past your head.
It's the GT4 RS is even crazier with the intakes. Yeah. Mine's pretty loud though, and the naturally aspirated is like I modified it and it's. Mm. It's loud.
Hell yeah.
If I'm driving on a rally, I need to have like earplugs in.
Wow.
But that's fun. Although it's a PDK. So if some people shit on me, but in LA, like I don't want,
you gotta have that. And, or at least in LA. And also it's like, the gold standard for fast shifting. Like the best transmission in the world. I'm not going to feel bad about having
it's
that.
It's like 0.8 seconds fast on the 0-60 on the PDK.
Yeah.
And then I have a, Audi RSQ8, which is awesome.
Damn.
And that's, you know, it's like paying for everything about an Urus without paying for the body kit. That's $150,000 more.
We had one of those in here a couple of years ago and I loved it. I mean, it's like over 600 horsepower and just the tech inside too. I think like as car enthusiasts and stuff that kind of gets overlooked when talking about these cars, but
when
you get in a really well optioned Audi, especially like the presentation and just like, it really does make the car, feel more utilitarian and like I don't know, more like futuristic. You know what you get where you're paying for.
It's a beast, honestly. Yeah. I modified it too. So, but not like distastefully, but it does have some downpipes that are pretty cool. And and like it's now hitting like 670 horsepower or something like that.
Damn.
So it sounds like a monster. And
that's a
it's
good
like
rally
the ultimate
car.
Daily driver, honestly. Yeah.
How much do you spend on gas per month?
Oh my God. I think I get like 10 miles a gallon or something like that. So it's bad to fill it up. But
that is a good rally car though. That's comfortable.
It's perfect. I like the interior more than an Urus too.
Yeah.
So Urus.
Yeah, I never know how to say it because you say it very like
Urus. Yeah, people, I say Urus and people are like, but that's like people say Porsche and I'm like,
Porsche.
I don't say BMW, so yeah.
BMW.
I was talking to
that's too much.
I've never heard anyone say that.
I was talking to Shmi about this. I'm like, people that talk about Porsche versus Porsche, he's like, do you call it BMW? And I'm like, no. And he's like, so shut up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? You're actually right.
I do think Bart brought this up a while ago. Like he had a professor that was like, he wouldn't say Don Quixote. He would say Don Quixote.
Yeah.
And he was like, you don't say that. You don't like, people don't get fed up with.
Is that the real pronunciation?
No. But he was like, that was his point. He was like, you don't do the real pronunciation for every single word you say. So why would you cherry pick
what
to get offended about?
True.
I guess, don't be a dick about it.
So moving forward, you have some of your favorite cars right now, but what's your dream 3-car garage?
Probably upgrade the E30 to an M3 as like my cruiser, E30 M3.
But you appreciate the engineering that went into the car in the first place. And the aura it already
like,
has.
Like my E30 right now that only has 20,000 miles, like I'm keeping it completely as is. Even the speakers don't work. And I'm like, I'm just going to bring like a like a portable thing because I don't want to like change
anything. You can fix the speakers.
I don't know. I just
going to hate on you for fixing speakers.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. But like, I don't want to like wrap it or do anything for like the older stuff.
Yeah.
For like my current cars, I like to modify them and like do stuff, but I still keep all the stock parts and like, at some point, maybe I'll just want to go back to it because I don't like getting too crazy on anything as I have a wrapped pink pig livery. but yeah, I mean, I kind of like that era. So,
Awesome.
But yeah, I'd say like probably an M3 would be cool. I just love the look of them. They're so cool, but they're so expensive now.
Yeah.
This is a hard one, honestly. I feel like, honestly, I really like my RSQ8 as just like a daily car. Like if I had a family that I can like transport stuff in.
Yeah.
So I'd probably keep the RSQ8, honestly. I feel like it's not too flashy too. Like, and I don't want like for that.
It's a pretty undercover car.
Yeah. Mine, it's like very like, it's all blacked out too. It doesn't have a crazy wrap on it. So I think that's like the good, you know, low key car for the fam.
Mm-hmm.
Might maybe a Cadillac Escalade V.
Okay.
That'd be cool. But that's like maybe, you know, that's a little bit also low key.
Mm-hmm. You would trade the Audi for the Escalade?
Maybe. I do like the nimbleness of the RSQ8. So I think I'm just going to stick with the RSQ8. Mm-hmm. I think an Urus is too flashy.
Sure.
And with the kids, you know, say I have kids or like transporting stuff, I don't want people like looking at me. The RSQ8, a lot of people that aren't into cars don't even bat an eye at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like people aren't like on the street like, hey man, nice car. So I like that actually. That's
what really bugs me with the Urus is when people buy it in a really boring color. I'm like, it's a Lamborghini.
Gray.
Yeah.
The gray is so
bad.
That was
cool. The matte gray that we had.
You do like the gray?
I mean, in that really cool matte finish, but I don't know, like, it's a Lamborghini, and it's very loud visually, like, get a cool color on it, you know, not just black or, I don't
just
know.
Just don't like lime green, I hate it.
Oh,
makes
really?
Me sick. And I don't like orange either. I'm anti-orange.
This guy.
I'm anti-orange, anti-lime green.
Those are the two I was, like, imagining. I was like, oh, good.
I guess if you're
going to
get a Lamborghini, you know, you might as well get a crazy color, but
Last spot, though.
Third one. Yeah, this is a hard one, but I'd probably get, like, a really, really quick new car just to not have any problems, and I really love the look of the Daytona SP3. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's naturally aspirated. Just a beast, honestly.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, inspired. Not to be the Ferrari really pisses me off. So as long as I don't have to like, you know, lick someone's butt to get it, that Ferrari, then I'll do that. Or maybe a Countach. I would swap out with the M3 just as like my old school car.
I'm just noticing your shirt. Are you a big Formula One fan?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I go to a lot of the races. Been to like Saudi, Azerbaijan. I go to Vegas every year in Austin and all those.
Yeah. Pardon me if this is patently obvious, but have you done like the any videos with F1 drivers? Like you got to spend some good amount of time with them.
I've done them with almost all of them.
Really
sick.
And I'll tell you, the coolest drivers, Lewis is one of the coolest people I've ever met.
Hell yeah.
He is a legend. I did one. Well, I won't go too much into one story, but I did, played pickup basketball against him and won for an IWC ad. And that was awesome.
That's sick.
Basically, every time I meet him, like, they had to rip us apart because we were just talking cars. And he's like, no, 5 more minutes.
That's awesome.
He's really, really cool.
That's so sick.
Lando's really cool too. Yeah.
You said you grew up in Tucson. What were you doing before making these videos? Like, and what does your family think back in Tucson about?
So I majored in finance and I moved to Dallas to work at like a brokerage company.
Okay. So that was your first job out of college.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for about a year I was doing like their financial advising track. I worked at Charles Schwab, just like the brokerage firm. Mm-hmm. So I was getting like my licenses to be a stock broker because I always kind of wanted to do that. Even like when I quit my job at the time, I was like, I like doing finance. So I think that's kind of why I started asking people to do for a living was like, I was just curious how people make money.
Yeah.
And it kind of like feeds into each other of like the whole like vibe. So it makes sense how it happened. But my family was. So it all kind of started with that. But I didn't start doing social media in any capacity. Like I wasn't like, what's up y'all? We're on Rodeo Drive. Mm-hmm. Like I literally posted a video POV and didn't show my face for the most part for like a year plus. Cause I was like not a content guy. Mm-hmm. Like my first video got like 30 or 40 million views.
Jeez.
And I was like, what the hell? Yeah. And then like I posted one the next day and I get like another 20 or 30 million views. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, so then, and then I get 1 million followers in 5 days on TikTok.
Oh my God.
Which is crazy. So people didn't even know it was me. Like they were like, this guy has the same name as you. Is it you? It kind of sounds like you. And I'm like,
he's got the same smoky voice. What's going on?
Yeah. And then my family was horrified when I was going to quit my job. Cause, I had a great job. My whole life led up to this moment of like, now I'm have a good, like steady job. Mm-hmm. And they're like, don't quit your job. And then I got my first check from Snapchat. And I remember, I thought it was a misprint. It was for like 20K or something like that. After their cut, this is in the golden age of Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, this is fake. And then I was like, I'm quitting my job. Mm-hmm. My family was like, no. Yeah. And then it ended up being fine. But I get it though. Cause they're older parents and so.
I mean, definitely. Yeah. Older generations also. I mean, obviously this is like a whole new, we're still in the infancy of, you know, social media and internet content and everything. So like, there's not that established sort of like, it's not like you move to Hollywood to work in television, which is an old industry. And like, there's an established pathway, you know, everyone's still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And when your son says, hey, I'm going to quit my job to make videos on my phone.
Yeah. And bother people.
Pretty scary.
Yeah. I barely moved to, I remember I was like, LA, I hate it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was kind of like taught like LA's bad.
Yeah.
And then I started coming out so much. Eventually I was like, okay, I'm going to do the classic thing and move to LA. So I waited a long time until I had like 8 million followers or something on TikTok, which in hindsight now I'm like, okay, like I could have moved earlier, but at the time my whole world was doing my 9-to-5. So I was like, this may not work out. It could crash and burn any day now. So I didn't want to be like the LA failure story where I move out here and it's like, oh God, now I got to go back.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, we are just about out of time, but I want to leave you this one question. If you were to leave the donut office with any of our cars today, which one would you pick?
That's a good one. Honestly, I like the Civic.
The
Civic's cool.
Not a bad pick.
I like Civics.
Very fun.
I think it's clean and white. Also out front, there was an E30, which I really like.
Oh, my Civic.
Yeah.
The white one.
Yeah, your Civic.
All right.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The one up top.
It's pretty clean. Yeah.
I like Civics. I think they're cool, honestly.
Yeah.
So probably that one, honestly.
Man,
the one you guys took to Baja is pretty cool, too.
Yeah. You wouldn't get very far. The fuel mileage is not great, but it is very fun, and you could hop any curb you wanted to.
Yeah. Or that little mini dune buggy thing.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So Civic wins.
Heck yeah, dude.
That's a great choice.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Daniel. Check out Daniel Mack. Not like we need to plug him at all, but check out Daniel Mack on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. Still going?
Yeah, Snapchat's still going.
Oh, yeah. I love your content. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Cool.
Bye.